I wanted to share this morning about God's vision for children. And I wanted to do this for a couple reasons. One of them is we are going to be experiencing in the next few months some really outstanding areas of ministry that are going to be coming online. But I wanted to take a little bit of time today to take you through some scripture to enable us to see how God sees children. And I think we all understand what we're called to as Christians, what Jesus wants to do, what the Father's will for us was before the foundation of the world, was to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And in that process of conforming us, of making us Christ-like, of having Jesus come into our hearts and literally rebuilding us into all the things that he is, his strengths, his wisdom, his heart, his passions, his love, that's what happens to us when Jesus comes into our lives. He begins to take this earth clay, weak vessel, and he fills it with himself. And the manifestations of God filling us is an increasing, ever more powerful nature and heart of Jesus Christ that lives inside of us. But that happens through the Word of God. The Bible says that we are transformed. One of the things that transforms us is the hearing of the Word. And what listening to the Word of God does is it tells us how God thinks. It tells us what God values. It opens our eyes to the priorities of our Creator. And then as we see those things, the Spirit of Christ inside of us, something begins to resonate. We see it in the Word of God, and something happens inside us where our hearts begin to resonate with the things that really, really matter to God. And one of the things that really matters to God is kids. And that's what I want to talk about. So I'm going to take you through a number of passages of Scripture, just walk through these things as quickly as I can. So you can look up these verses on your own later. I'll make these notes available to you, so you don't. If you want to read it all through carefully, you can. But I want to read to you Psalm 127, verse 3, and I want you to listen to this. It says, and I love the way it starts. It says, "Behold." It's an interesting way to start that. I believe that's God saying, "Look at this. Behold this. Open your eyes to this. See this." You know? Behold. And then it says this. It says, "Behold, children are a gift from God." Now, how many know that God gives good gifts? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And how many of you have ever watched somebody, maybe a child, I'm going to use a child for example, at Christmas time, who opens a gift and opens the gift and puts it aside? You just opens it, you know, the wrapping is all, you know, the exciting part, and pulls out the gift, and then the gift goes to the side, and then they're just anticipation with the next gift. They maybe don't see the value of each one of those gifts. And us as parents, we think, you know, take some time, look at this thing and play with it, then go open a gift. But in their excitement, in their just zeal, they, you know, the wrapping is exciting, the what's inside there, but it just goes aside. I believe the Spirit of God wants us to take time to look at the gift and to see what it is that Jesus has actually created and what he has designed, why he has given us this gift, children. So that's the first point I wanted to give you. Children are a gift from God. Second thing I want to say is when we, that means all of us, not just parents who have children, not just people who are you know, around the childbearing age, but all of us. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you welcome and receive children, you are welcoming and receiving Christ himself. Now that's very important. And Jesus said this in order to tell us the priority of his heart and what he values. He says, if you receive a child, if you receive that child into your heart, into your life, you are actually receiving Christ himself. That's a powerful thing. Okay? Let me read that to you. Mark chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. And now Jesus is teaching his disciples. Okay? The Son of God is teaching his disciples the priorities of the kingdom of heaven and the priorities of the king. So he takes a child, a little child, and he had that little child stand in the midst of the disciples and the people that were gathered around. He picks the child up, and he takes the child in his arms, and then he says those words. And imagine Jesus holding a child in front of his disciples, you know, all these guys who were going to become the beginnings of the church. They were going to be the ones who, turned the world upside down. And he's telling him, you cannot miss this. He's saying, you know, you guys that think you're going to change the world and all the things that I've called you to do, don't miss this one. Don't miss this thing that I'm going to show you right now. Takes a little child, had him stand in the midst of them, takes the child in his arms, and then he says those words, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name is welcoming me. That's how God thinks. When you welcome a child, when you give to a child, when you serve a child, when you lay down your life for the benefit of a child, when you, you know, highly theological, mature adults come down to a child's level, and you impart to them the truths that are going to set them free, and you give unto them the life of Christ that God has given you. Jesus says, you're not doing it just for that child. You're doing it to me. Okay? That changes how we see, how we value what we're doing in a church, having children's ministry, our ministry for the daycare. This is not just about, you know, some kind of a ministry, nebulous, no purpose. We're talking about receiving children and at the same time receiving Christ and ministering unto them exactly the way Christ wants. So I wanted to kind of raise that in our eyes. He says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not just welcome me, but he welcomes the one who sent me, my Father. You welcome the child, you're welcoming me. You welcome me, you're welcoming my Father into your life. How many of you today would like to receive Jesus and serve him? And isn't that your heart? It's my heart. Last night as I was preparing for this, I was up late preparing, and after I had finished preparing, I began walking through the house and kind of getting things ready for the morning. And I found the Spirit of God inside my heart saying these words over and over. Jesus, I want you. I just want you. I want you, Jesus. I need to have you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. Jesus, I want you. I found that rising in my heart. And I believe that's a heart cry that God puts inside of us. But let me bring it down to you the way he's saying it. If you want Jesus, Jesus equates wanting a child, receiving a child, ministering to a child, as exactly the same thing as receiving him. And it's exactly the same thing as receiving the Father. So, number three, God plans for people not just at adulthood. Okay? The plans, the purposes, and the visions of God, you know, the great destiny for churches, and all the things that God has called us to do to take our cities and so on and so forth, bring the gospel, see people set free. That's not just an adult thing. Okay? It includes adults, but it also includes children. Our ministry as a church, please hear me, thank God for every older person who walks in the doors of this place. Thank God for every person who gets saved at 25, 30, 50, whatever. Praise God for all of those adults. But that is not just what this is about. Jesus wants to reach children. Now let me say it to you really plainly. Okay? When families walk into the door of this church searching for God, when they come here hoping that they're going to find the life of Christ, when they come here wanting family, you know, am I going to be accepted? Am I going to be received? And am I going to be loved? Those families that come in with children, they want to know, how are my children going to be received in this place? How are my children going to be ministered to? Especially newcomers. Those of you who've been around for a while and you're on the inside track, you already know what's going to happen. You know, you know that they're going to be loved because they're getting loved all the time. You know, everybody hugs the children and values the children. But when a newcomer comes in, they don't know. They don't know what's going to happen here. But Jesus wants a family of God to enfold into the life of our church little children. Okay? And I want to say to you today, the fact that Jesus did this in front of his entire leadership team, took the child, stood the child in the middle, picked the child up into his own arms, and said, if you receive, he was telling them something. He's saying to the theological giants and the hard-working types and the people who had the gift of hospitality, the ones that were teachers, he was saying to all of them, every single one of them, doesn't matter what your gift is, doesn't matter what the individual call that God may have on your life is, it is going to include children. Okay? That was the message in the lesson. We can't do what we do in this church without ministry to children. Okay? Because if you want to minister to families, which we want to do, you must minister to their children. Care for them well. Minister to them well. In fact, if you minister well to the children, the parents are very happy, generally speaking. I'm going to just give you a couple passages of Scripture. Just giving you an idea of the eternalness, the bigness of the plan that God had in mind. Okay, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Psalm chapter 139, and it gives you a little teeny bit of an idea of how far back God was thinking about children and us. Okay,
For you created my innermost being, the psalmist says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You were already working. Your hand was already on me. You were already designing me before I ever became an adult. Even while I was in my mother's womb, you were already fashioning me and shaping me, and making me, designing me for your purposes. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths. You saw my unformed body, and you planned all of my days for me. All the days of my life were planned for me, and they were written in your book before any one of them came to pass. I hope you see this. All the days. You know, I had a chance to watch my daughter go through labor. And I was in the room a lot of the time, and I had a chance to see the incredible miracle of childbirth, and you know what that was like. I watched the grace of God, which I cannot understand when a person is going through so much pain, but I watched the grace of God on my daughter,
as she labored to bring a child into the womb. And the anticipation of parents when, you know, I mean, when that little blue thing, you know, the wife comes to the husband and shows the little blue thing. You know, there's an anticipation. There's an excitement of something that's to come. And then within that family, all through that, you know, carrying of that child, there's this anticipation of what's to come. I want to say to you today, I believe that was created by God. But I believe that's created by God because it's exactly what God is like. See, it's not something in existence outside of God. You know, this thing that happens inside parents and the feelings that they feel and the desires that they have, the longings that they, the dreams that they dream, that just didn't originate on its own. That's exactly how God sees and how God thinks. There it is right in front of you. My eyes were on you when I was fashioning you in the womb. I had dreams for your life. I planned your days, every one of them, from the day of your birth all the way through. You know, you can't talk and you can barely even look at and focus on things. My eyes were on you. I planned even those days. As you begin to babble and, you know, make a few semi-intelligible sounds, and you began to notice that people were noticing you, and you began to reach out, you know, and grab hold of a finger, and the parents lit up. You know, they just lit up because all you did was you just grabbed a finger. You know, look at him, he's grabbing my finger, you know. And then as you know, this child who can't barely move, can't roll over, starts to do things like that every step of the way. It's excitement. Every step of the way, there's joy. I believe that comes from God. That's what God feels. That's what he thinks. That's how he feels about children and us all the way through our lives. But can I say to you today, that is the heart of Christ, and God wants us to be Christ-like. Which means that the kids that are in our church, we don't just bypass them. We don't just, you know, endure them. We don't just put up with them. You know, and they're rambunctious and they do the things they do. Sometimes they run around this place like little whatever's. I didn't want to say the word that came to my mind. You probably had your own word. But, you know, the disciples pushed children aside. That's another passage of Scripture. They actually pushed children aside. Mums were coming to Jesus with children for Jesus to bless them. And the disciples, imagine this. Imagine the grief in the heart of God, because it is so opposite of what Jesus thinks like, that his disciples would actually push the mothers away as though their children were not important. And the Bible says Jesus rebuked them. Interesting. Because they were stopping children from coming to him. He rebuked them. And then in the King James language, which I grew up with, it says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let them come. Let the children come. Let them come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't just belong to you. It's not just yours. It is yours. But it isn't just yours. It's theirs too. Therefore, if we are going to be Christ-like as a church, we're going to fulfill the call of God in our lives, and we're going to do the things that Jesus has intended us to do, it is going to include ministry to children. And I want to encourage you, some of you think it's not your ministry. Some of you think, oh, it's for somebody else. I want to say to you, it's for all of us. Okay? I'm not just recruiting for the children's ministry, although I am definitely recruiting for the children's ministry. Okay? But I'm telling you, it isn't just in that area that it goes on. It needs to go on in that area, and we need to do that area incredibly well. And there are many of you here in this place that have phenomenal giftings that are going to bless families and they're going to bless children. And I'm saying to you,
you need to catch Jesus' vision for that area. Because we're going to see many families come to Christ. Families are going to come to Christ. They're going to actually come into the kingdom of God because of how well we ministered to their families. And we didn't do it out of works. You know, it wasn't the works of the flesh. It was us seeing the crystal clear heart of Creator God, who created these little beings, you know, for his own purposes. Now, I don't have time to give it to you today. My time is almost gone. And I could share many things with you, but I will make the notes available to you. But I want to say there are dozens of scriptures that talk about all the different ways that God uses children to do his purposes. You know, I'm talking generals of massive armies and countries having their direction altered by a little child. You know, the pride that was in the general who has had leprosy and he wanted to be healed of this leprosy, but this little girl says to him, you know, if you want to be healed, go wash in the rivers of Jordan, in the land of Israel. And he says, what's wrong with our rivers? Why do I have to go there? And this little child ministers to him and speaks the word of the Lord to this general and convinces him, if you want to be healed, this is the way to be healed. A child. Now, you've watched our children. What happens? You know, we in our church, some of the things we do, you know, we when we pray for people, we invite a ton of people up. Anybody who wants to come pray for somebody. Have you watched what happens to the little children? Now, some of them are a little distracted. Others walk right dab smack into the center of that prayer where we're praying for people, and you can see not just a seriousness, you can see a spiritual awareness. They're hearing God. God's speaking to them. He's training them right in front of our eyes by the example of you and how you love people, how you respond to people, how you minister to people. You see, these people are going to become you. These little guys are going to become you. You know, yeah, they're going to take the cities. Yeah, they're going to overthrow the giants. Yeah, they're going to do all those things. But it starts right here, right now. As we value them, as we love them, as we demonstrate the ways of Christ, as we teach them the Word of God, as we carry their lives into maturity. Can you say amen to that? Okay, I got lots more to say. He's going to give you a little teeny bit more vision about what's coming.
Thank you, Mike. That's beautiful. You know, it's good to be in the house of God today. And we know that this old school building isn't the house of God. We know that the house of God is us. But if we look around the sanctuary right now, some of us are missing. And that's the children. But they are still us. And they're the house of God. And God said in his word, he said, unless I build the house, the laborers labor in vain. Mike shared that when little children come up and they worship, they flag, they get into the middle of the prayer times, God's building his house. And the children are part of his house. And unless we get on board with what God's doing, we will be working in vain. Whether it be recruiting or signing people up to do jobs, that can become a vain work unless God initiates all of those things. So I wanted to preface what I wanted to say this morning with that. That the life of God, and I heard, and I believe we all heard this morning, the life of God in the words that Mike shared with us. They're life-giving. And our children are full of Jesus. And there are children that are going to meet Jesus and get full of Jesus. And that's really what it's about. Getting connected with God's work. That he's building his church. The gates of hell do not prevail against it. We can come into agreement with God and help. We are co-laborers with Christ. We get to co-labor in this great kingdom of his. And this morning I have some practical things to share. I want to start off by saying that the vision we have of the sanctuary right now, where the children are not present, is actually the vision that you're going to have when Children's Church is initiated. So right now we're dismissing children mid-service after worship, and we are heading into a time where children will go directly into a children's church. And when a church does a transition like that, there's many questions that come up. Questions like, well, I like the children in the worship time because they're a part of what God's doing, and they get the Spirit of God and they worship and it's great and we're all together as a community. So there's questions like that that arise. So what we want to do over the next 4 weeks is we want to do a part of the children's church in front of the whole church before we dismiss. So next week we have a song, a worship song and choreography that will be done in front of the church, and then we'll dismiss mid-service just like normal. The following week, we would like it if somebody had it on their heart to do a puppet show that emphasizes the Spirit of God, the truths, and what we believe God's moving children into. Through a puppet show, we'd like that to be done in front of the whole church and then dismiss and go off to the Sunday school. And the following week, we'd like a storyteller to tell a story with the children in front of the whole church, then go off to Sunday school. And the following week and the last week, we'd like somebody to lead a short worship time with the children, and we all participate together, and we go off to Sunday school. And then it gives us an idea, because if we just went, we're starting children's church next week, so the children won't come into the sanctuary. Please usher them to the right and through the doors and down to the classrooms. Nobody gets a sense of what is the children doing. And I like them, what they were doing. but this way, you will see, and we will all join together. And if God is with us in this, then we are building his way, and we're not laboring in vain. And then Children's Church will be initiated 4 weeks down the road. And the whole congregation will have participated in the Children's Church in little segments of it to see that this is what's happening. This is where our church is going. This is what we're doing. So we have next week all taken care of. If somebody has puppets on their heart, I could point fingers, but I won't. Just get a hold of Jocelyn or I so we can put that together for the following week. And that said, that's really what I wanted to share this morning. I'm really finished what I wanted to share. But I want to share, this is like a chronological order of a children's church that we're going to be running. I want to share, before I share this, that God is allowed to shape us, to mold us, to change what we do, and to really, so that we are free to see who will come about with areas of the children's ministry on their heart, who will participate in that. And God is in us all and speaks to us all. And there will be things in your heart that you would like to participate in. We'd like to hear from you. And I've got handouts so that you can take and pray over these areas. But I'm just going to share with you and then close. So the very first point on how we can serve children, and the house of God is just not children, it is the families of our church. We can pray for these children. We can pray for the children's workers, and they There's going to be many of them, I believe. And pray for the families of our church. And pray for those that are going to be a part of our church in the future. That is the first and foremost thing. Secondly, we need a team of administrators. We don't have the resources to put a full-time administrator into function here. So we need a team of administrators to create and email program details and instructions to all the children's workers on a weekly basis so that there is order and direction and a flow. With this, I'm not going to tell you, but with this, every point I've got down, this is going to take you this many minutes a week to do. That's on here if you want one of these after. We need a frugal individual. If you love couponing or shopping on a budget, we need a frugal individual to source and purchase materials and supplies, because periodically we're going to need to supplement the program with certain kinds of supplies so we can convey the messages that God's put on our heart to do. We need helpers to set up the open area and classrooms. We need people to meet and greet families at the door. Because it will be a children's church, we don't want anybody to be wondering. We'd like people to be greeted, information to be given, questions to be answered, and guided to the rooms and places that they need to find their way to. So greeters, which is different than the greeters into the sanctuary. We need somebody to create or source appropriate videos and countdowns, which there's going to be media that we use in the children's church, and we'll need to source content for that in the form of videos that would be shared in the open area, and countdowns, because we're going to have a video countdown. You know, all the kids are going to come into an open area, and there'll be a countdown on a screen, and then start. Then we need somebody to run that media. So somebody who can run a computer that drives a projector and plays music. An MC. And that's somebody who keeps the flow of activities happening during the open group time. Now, we're going to have an open time where everybody from ages 5 and up are in the big open area, and infants to 4 are stay in classrooms, and then that group area is dismissed into classrooms. So at the MC is will be responsible for keeping the flow of the group time happening. So very colorful person. Not like me. Putting together welcome bags for new children. So there's going to be visitors. There's going to be new children coming into the children's program. And we want the older children to have welcome bags with little gifts and stuff in them to go over and say, welcome, here's a bag. And here's some gifts. So somebody to put those together. Somebody to put together and lead group games or icebreakers, just so that the children, when they come together in a group time, they loosen up, you know, and get to be a bit of a community, you know, first. Then we have leading action songs with choreography. We're going to see that next week. Reading at story time. We're going to see that 2 weeks. Putting together a puppet show, we're going to see that in 2 weeks. And then leading worship. These are all activities that will happen in the group time. And then putting together a craft or art activity that happens in the classroom. Teaching a short lesson in a small group setting that happens in the classroom. Creating informal handout or informational handouts for parents. That happens once in a while. Assisting in any one of the above areas as a helper. So if you say, well, I like those areas, but I don't want to lead that area. I don't feel confident yet, but I want to participate in that area. Then you can just say, I would like to do that. And then you can go in and who knows, 3 weeks down the road, you're like, you could lead this. You never know how that works, right? And then cleaning up the classrooms and open area after. And that's the chronological order of Children's Church. And those are the group of people that we would need to execute this program. And so if you are interested in anything that I've said, could you put up your hand? I'll hand out these sheets on there. It's got all the items that I just shared, and then it's got the time frames that you would need to commit to. Probably, they're not exact, obviously, just to help you know what kind of commitment that would need to be made for those areas.
So he said, if you're interested, would everybody put up their hand, please? Just so you can all get them and see. I just want to say one more thing. One of the biggest differences between what we used to do and what we're doing now is the way Sunday school used to run is you had a Sunday school person who was committed until death. Week after week after week, they went into that room by themselves or with a helper, and they were there for their hour or whatever. Whereas this, one of the beautiful things about this kind of children's ministry is it involves individual gifts that pop in different segments. And some people will be there for the whole time. Others, you will come in and do one little segment, and you'll minister in one part of it. And so it enables many more gifts to operate, but it also makes it so it's not onerous, you know? It never should become onerous, but there's lots of different ways that people can just give their heart and serve in different kinds of ways. And so as a church, we would like to see our whole church connected in some kind of way to this.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.